A quick announcement before we get into the message this morning. Miss Wilma does have a sheet on the back table for He Touched Me, and you can go ahead and sign up for that. Yes, it's almost time. And hadn't even got through Christmas yet. She's talking about Easter. Feel like we had the stores. But if you're going to be a part of the He Touched Me play in any capacity, we need people to be characters in there with speaking parts. We need people that are part of our crew, running spotlights and helping take down and put up scenery. We need people to do all kinds of things, and it's going to take a lot of folks to be able to do that. So if you know you can help out, please go ahead and sign up for that. And it's on the back table back here, Miss Wilma.
Yeah, everybody said, no matter what you did, sign up.
Yes, yes. And it's easier to go ahead and sign up now than wait for her to come and recruit you. Because either way, you're going to say yes, you're just going to have to make her work harder. But you will say yes, okay? So that's been my experience anyway. This morning, you know, we come to church, and we all know that this week is the week that we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, and everybody's getting geared up for their big meals and things that we're going to have. But I want us to understand this more from, and when we talk about Thanksgiving, I want us to understand that from the Christian perspective and how we should be looking at Thanksgiving, because the world will be looking at Thanksgiving in this season a little bit differently than those of us that are Christians should be looking at it. But, you know, it is very, very wonderful that in America, you know, we've set aside this time to be able to highlight Thanksgiving, to be able to say, you know, we've had such a great history and the things that have happened to us that we're going to set aside this time to where we celebrate that. But for Christians, it's not just one day, it's not just a week, it's not just even a month. We should have an attitude of Thanksgiving. And that should be something that's a part of our everyday lives. And so we're going to discuss this morning about having that attitude of gratitude. And this is not the first time I've titled a sermon like that around this time, but I think it's important for you to understand that, having that attitude of gratitude each and every day of our lives. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're really going to look at 16, 17, and 18, but 18 being the primary verse that we'll be looking at for the message this morning. But it says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And when you look at what we're going to be, you know, doing this week, and I said the meals that people are going to be preparing, many people here will be cooking, you know, throughout this week. You probably start, you know, cooking Monday and Tuesday and preparing things and putting it up, and especially Wednesday and Thursday morning we'll be cooking that. But, you know, we set aside this time, and I think even some people don't even understand why we even in America celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, being that the pilgrims come over and all of the things in the new land and the meal that they had there with the Native Americans and all of that, you know, American history that we have of just simply folks understanding that we are a blessed people for living in the United States of America and having this land that we have and this land of freedom that you and I enjoy. It is a privilege to say that you're an American. It always has been, and it will be for the foreseeable future. But, you know, as we sit around our tables coming up this week and our family gatherings, a lot of folks are going to be really thankful for the material possessions that God has given them. And that's the first thing that comes to our mind when we think about, are we blessed? Or what do we have to give thanks for? We say, well, I have this, I have that, I have this, I've been able to do this, been able to do that. And we're really looking at material things. And, you know, as I say in your notes, that's not a bad thing. We need to thank God for the material things that He's given us. We need to thank God that you and I can drink bottled water that's clean, and that many of the children, the 311 children that are represented by these boxes up here, and the places that they live, they may be drinking out of the same watering hole that animals drink out of and bathe in. So I think it is important for us to say, you know what, we are blessed, and thank you, God, that we can have bottled water. I think we, you know, take about 23,000 breaths a day, and how do you feel when you just miss one? But how many times do you stop and just thank God that you can breathe in, you know, the air, and that we're living in a place to where you can breathe in good air. You know, the little things is what we miss most of the time that we should be thanking God for. But we thank God, you know, for many of the material things, and that's good. But I want us to really look at what verse 18 is saying to us in Thessalonians right here. It says, give thanks in what kind of circumstances? All circumstances. It didn't say in just the good things. It said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All right. Now, that's the difficult part for people to be able to do, because it is tremendously easy for us to give thanks when things are going great. And I've listed some things in your notes in there. But, you know, when your job is going great and when you're getting promotions and the rest of it, and you're just loving every day going to work, it's easy to thank God for your job. It's easy to sit around your Thanksgiving table and you know, when the parents are real proud, oh, how are you doing, Johnny? You're just a doctor and you're a lawyer and you're the rest of those things and all of that stuff. It's easy when you've got worldly success to be able to thank God for that. It's easy when you've been able to, you know, buy the brand new car or boat or Sea-Doo or whatever else those things are that you have out there, and thank God, yes, I was able to do that, and I thank God for that. You know, but when your children and your family are doing well, when your children have success in their career path and in their education path, you know, it's easy to say, oh, let me tell you about my children. Let me tell you about my grandchildren. You know, they're going to the University of Georgia to study medicine, and they're going to be a pharmacist making $190,000 a year or whatever the case may be. But what about the opposite of those things? Can you give thanks when maybe your job isn't going well? Maybe you're out of work right now. You're unemployed. Can you give thanks then? Maybe you can't even repair the $500 value car that you're driving right now. Can you give thanks then? Maybe your children are going off on a deep end, and they're in the pits of the world. Their career path, their education path, all of that is not something that's worthy to brag about. Can you give thanks to God in that situation? What about your relationships with your children, marriage relationships, relationships with people, you know, inside of your home, maybe not just your children or your marriages? Can you give thanks to God then? See, we often think of giving thanks during this week that bragging is giving thanks. That's not true, okay? Giving thanks is actually being thankful and humble and all of those things for what you've done, because you don't feel like you've deserved those things, all right? But see, bragging is going around telling everybody about what you do and what you have, and you think that that's what you deserve. And see, that's different from being thankful. That's different from having an attitude of gratitude, all right? And that's what we've got to do, because the world loves to brag, and yes, we did this, and we did that, and we've got this, and we've got that. But this attitude of gratitude that I'm talking about this morning, and that what Paul is writing here to the church at Thessalonica, to give thanks in all circumstances, is talking about something far greater and deeper than those things that we're talking about, you know, here this morning. But when you look at the world today, though, you don't have a whole lot of people that are wanting to thank God, to really be thankful. And Romans 1:21 talks about this. And it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. When you look at the world today, most people are not thinking about God at all this week. Not thinking about the blessings that you've had. You're thinking about the accomplishments maybe that you've had and not giving credit to God. And see, there's many people in this room this morning that maybe are like this verse here. You know God. You know who he is. You may have a relationship with God. But the question is, do we glorify God? Do we lift him up? Do we put him in the place that we're supposed to? Do we exalt him, you know, above ourselves? Do we bring him glory? And do we give thanks to God? Do you do that? I mean, in the times when you're not having the successes that I was talking about earlier, think about yourself today. Do you have an attitude of thankfulness? And then it's so hard to do that. You're saying, well, how can he be standing there telling me I should be thankful for being unemployed right now? Did I say that? Don't hear what I'm not saying. I didn't say that you're supposed to go, oh, God, thank you for the fact that I have stage 4 cancer. Or thank you for the fact that I just lost my job. Or thank you for the fact that my children aren't in the right place. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having an attitude of thankfulness to God. See, all those other things, you're talking about the world. And you're talking about being wrapped up in the world. I'm not talking about being thankful for anything that happens in the world. I'm talking about you being thankful to God the Father. Because despite all of these issues that we may be having in our life, God is still the King of Kings, and he's still the Lord of Lords, and he still reigns supreme over everything in this world. And he deserves your thanks. He deserves your glorification that you're going to give him. And this is a major issue in our world today. It's a major issue in our churches that we have today, because our lives revolve so much around the worldly things. It revolves around how much money that we have and all of that kind of stuff. And then we say, well, you know, we can't be thankful. We can't have joy, because this really speaks to that as well, that having joy in all circumstances. You know, the Bible teaches us that. We looked at that in Philippians before. So how do you all as Christians, and how do I as a Christian have this attitude of thankfulness, have this joy, despite anything that is happening to us in the world? And we've talked about this, you know, over and over again. And I want us to really hone in 2 Corinthians 9:15. And it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Okay? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is this indescribable gift that Paul is talking about here to the church at Corinth? It's talking about salvation. It's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about what he's done for us. So let me ask you a question. If you may be sitting in here today and you may be unemployed, outside of your will, and that's not a great place to be in. Nobody wants to just be unemployed where you've been fired. Does that circumstance that you're in right now, does that negate the fact that you have been given an indescribable gift from God? Does the fact that you can't sit around, because some people really hate to go to Thanksgiving and sit around the table because they don't have a lot to brag about. And they don't have a lot because, you know, everybody's telling their stories and whatnot. And you look at that day with a little bit of apprehension, maybe, and a little bit of embarrassment in some places. I'm trying to get you to get away from this worldly stuff and look at that despite anything that's going on in the world, despite the greatest success that you can tell, you may be able to say, oh, I am making the more money than I've ever made before. Does that matter to the fact that you've had an indescribable gift? Okay, the gift of salvation, the gift that God sent his one and only son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. That's what we're about here in the church. That should be what our thankfulness is rooted in every single day of our life. There should never be a time that you allow Satan to steal your joy, because we are, every single person in here has the opportunity to partake in this indescribable gift. Many of you probably have. I'm not saying everybody has. I don't know. Is everybody here saved? Probably not. But every one of us, Christ died for. Those of us that are saved and those of us that are not. And he did that despite what was going on and it was despite his feelings and the pain that he was going to have to go through at that time. And when you look at us as Americans, I can't say this enough because I love this country and I love the fact that God blessed me enough to be able to live and to grow up in this country and to be able to raise my children and have a family in the United States of America. And simply, folks, maybe you don't have this indescribable gift, but if you're an American, you have a lot to be thankful for in this world today. You really do. Give God a hand clap of praise. You really do. And I heard somebody say the other day, and you know, we're going through all of these political things. Guess what? America has survived a whole lot in the years that we've been a nation. And we're going to continue to survive because we have some of the greatest people that have ever been. And we have the blessing of God over this country. And we started this country with Christian principles. And if we will continue that, God's going to continue to be able to bless us. But you look at, you know, sometimes we just don't get it because we're in our ivory towers. But look at the food that we'll partake of coming this Thursday. Nobody's worrying about not having enough food. I can guarantee you can, in this place, your family, you may not be going anywhere, but you can go down to, there's many places that are serving free Thanksgiving lunches. Churches that do it, rescue missions and places that make sure that people have food, especially on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Even in the United States of America, people that are the poorest of poor can enjoy a turkey. But what about the many, many people across the world that would just hope for 1/100,000th of what we were going to be partaking of this week? We are a blessed people simply because we have the title of American. Now, when you translate that over and you say, okay, but what about those of us that are able to have that title as a Christian? I mean, man, that just goes insurmountably more than anything we could ever put on our checklist about being an American. When you think, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, when you think about the fact that God cared enough about you and me, even when we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, and he died, and he provided us with this thing we call mercy. And that mercy is that he has given us what we don't deserve, because justice is when you get what you deserve. When, you know, we want to see that in our justice system today. Somebody did a crime, they do the time that goes along with what they've done. But see, we don't get that in Christianity. Because when you think about, well, how can I be thankful in any and all circumstances? The first question that you ask yourself is, what do you deserve? What do you deserve? Now, if you're sitting here going, oh, I deserve the best of the best. Well, you're wrong. Hate to bust your little bubble, but I can. See? Bam. Okay, it's gone. We don't. We deserve because we're sinners. And you're not sinners because Adam and Eve sinned. You really are. But guess what? If you were up there and you were sitting there talking to that snake, which was the Satan, you would have done the same thing they did. Because as human beings, we are fundamentally that way. All right? We men love darkness and we dwell in it. But we are sinful people. And so what we deserve is hell. But guess what? That's not what God gives us. He loves us enough that he didn't give us justice. He gave us mercy. And what we talked about on Wednesday night, but that would have been enough, wouldn't it? Just giving us mercy. Hey, that's great. You forgave us when we didn't need to be forgiven. But then he throws in this thing called grace. And we did a word study Wednesday night on grace. Because, see, grace is going that step further and giving you a blessing even after having provided you mercy. So you think about it like this, and I said this to the people on Wednesday night. Say somebody comes up and you owe a tremendous fine to, you know, the court, and you're going to go to jail for the rest of your life. And so, and the judge, you know, and them says, well, somebody's paid it for you. Well, that's mercy. Or the judge says, you know what, you're off the hook. But then that same person that paid your fine comes and says, on top of paying your fine, I'm going to give you another $1 million. See, that's what God has done for me and you. Not only did he save us from the pits of hell, but he told us you can have eternal life living with him, that you can have a life and a life more abundantly, that you are in the world, but you don't have to be of the world, that we're going to reign with Christ for all of eternity. Now, folks, that's something to thank him for and what he's done for us with the grace and the mercy that he has bestowed down upon each and every one of us. Now, you can get and you can buy into the lies that Satan is going to be giving you, that this is all you got to deal with right here in this life. You get 100 years, 80 years, 70 years, whatever the case is, and the ups and downs that you have, that's what you got to look forward to. Well, that's depressing. Well, you don't really have a lot to be thankful for if that's what you're looking at. But see, we look ahead of all of that stuff and say, even if we're in the eye of the storm, even if nothing ever changes, we have eternity to look for through Jesus Christ. So when you're sitting around those tables, when you're with your family, you know, this week, get out of this stuff, because I know some people may already have got their pity party ready, and they got the script. And, oh, no, I'm going to go, oh, y'all just don't know. Just they waiting for somebody to ask them. Just ask me about how I've been, because you got the opposites that's true. The people love to brag, but people also like to just drag you down, don't they sometimes? How you doing? That's why I do this to people. Sometimes you'll come up to me and say, how you doing? I'll say, terrible. The people that actually stop and say, what do you mean? It's because nobody really cares when they ask that question. Because, you know, sometimes you ask somebody and then they start giving this 20-minute conversation about how their life is. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I really wasn't caring. I was just trying to say that so make you think I cared. Or whatever the case is, how you ask that question sometimes. But some people are ready just to tell you about all their problems. And maybe there was somebody that was just ready to tell everybody about all the, you know, things and woes that's been going on in your life. Put that in perspective today. Who in here has a woe story? Oh, woe is me. How bad. That trumps, and that word is different today, isn't it? That overtakes, okay, how blessed you really are. Is there anybody that's going through just some, this stuff that is so bad that it outweighs the blessings that God has given you in your life? Then why are we so quick to tell people the bad things but not give thanks to God for what the good things he's done? Anybody? I'm giving you an opportunity. 100 people in here. Tell me. Anybody going through something that is just outweighs what God has done for you and how he's blessed you? But let me ask you a question. How many people in here have told somebody this week about how blessed you are as being a Christian? And how blessed you are because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But guess what? Let that car break down, and you stranded on the side of the road, you're going to call 10, 12 people and tell them about it. Lose your job, you're going to tell somebody about that. You're going to tell it. I'm asking you, though, when you look at how we are as Christian people, we've got to have a better attitude of gratitude when it comes to every single day of our life, because that's how you really beat Satan, okay? That's how you really give him a black eye. He's going to throw all these things at you in this world and try to make you get all discouraged and down and out and all of this. But guess what? I serve a God who's on the winning team. You've heard and you've read the end of the story. Satan gets thrown into the lake of fire, and he's going to be no more, okay? And he's not going to have any kind of power over us or any of these things. When the prophecy said in the Garden of Eden, when he said that you will, you know, bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. See, all Satan can do is bruise the heel. But Jesus crushed his head. And see, you and I are part of that team if we believe in Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, are you, when you go to your family, what better witness could you be to your family? Many of us in this room have family members that we're going to be seeing that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And how great of a witness can you be that you can have joy and you can have thanksgiving even in the midst of your own struggles? When you can sit there at that table and they know the things, because you put it on Facebook, they know the problems that you've been having. They've seen it. Everybody's give the sad face, you know, for you on there. But then you can sit there at the table and say, you know what, though? Despite all the things that are going on in my life, I am blessed and highly favored by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he chose me to die for on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. That's a powerful witness, because it's easy to give thanks when things are going well. And it's expected. But it's admirable when you can do it in the eye of a storm, when you can do it in the midst of all the problems. Guess what? You are not alone. Every single person in this room today is going through something. I'm going through something. I have struggles and I have issues and things that I'm going through. I have family members. I have problems. All of that kind of stuff. You make a choice. It's a choice of whether you let that overcome you or not. It's a choice that you walk around and say, woe is me because I've got problems. I look around this room and I know, because I'm the pastor, I know more than anybody else in this whole building, the different things that are going on behind the faces that are looking back at me right now. And there are some people, a part of this congregation, that have a big license to just lay in the bed and never get up. But those people, I look at Miss Doris Peace. Now, she's not here right now, obviously. But I look at Miss Doris Peace. I don't hear her whining and woe is me and the rest of it. Do you ever hear her doing a whole lot of that, Jim? No. Yeah, you got to just keep going. I think about Miss Vivian, who's sitting back there on the back row. She's seen a whole lot of things in her life, but she says, you know, you just got to keep on going. You got to keep on going. And they know what God has done for them. They know the blessings that God has provided for them, the faith that they have in God. And there's many, many people that are here. But guess what? You know, we have to be there for each other when we're going through struggles. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need each other. You need to tell some people, you know, sometimes. But it's the difference in what I'm saying. Of having an attitude of ingratitude, now that's a problem. I'm not talking about the specific little instances that where we tell people, you know what, Bradley, I'm struggling right now. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? That's not a bad thing. But when we walk around defeated, when we walk around like it's done, this week, I want you to broaden your perspective outside of the cars you're driving and your kids and the success of the world. And I want you to think today at how blessed you are that Jesus Christ has provided to you grace and mercy. And then see, how can we do that to other people today? Because see, we like to, I'm going to use this. I hadn't said this in a while on Sunday morning, but you're going to go to your restaurant today. Maybe your waitress or waiter doesn't do a good job. Do you provide them with grace, justice, or mercy? See, here's an example. Justice would be they didn't do a good job, you gave them nothing. Mercy would be you give them the minimum requirement on the little table on your receipt. Okay? Grace would be giving them even more than what they deserve at all, just as a statement to say, that, you know what, I'm a Christian, that Jesus Christ gave me. That's an opportunity you to talk to that person and say, you know what, you didn't deserve this $15. I'm going to give you whatever it is because of the issues that were here. But guess what? I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I want to bless you today. What a statement that could be to that person. But what could the statement be that when they left, they knew you just come from church, but you gave them nothing? Nothing. See how God has given us grace and how we can be thankful and how that drives us to do better for Jesus Christ is the same thing we can do for other people if we provide them that same thing that we've been given. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot, Beverly, to smile about when we come into church. and we have a lot to be joyful about. All it takes is that one thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. I know you got 1,000 other things, and I do too, of problems. But that one indescribable gift overtakes every one of the problems that this world can throw from us. Because it's what's going to get us free from everything in this world in the first place. So be a witness to people this week. Be thankful to God about the things that he has. And if you write a list today, I challenge you to do this. Write a list of all your problems. And then write a list of all, and count your blessings. We sang that song today. Count your blessings. Count the things that are going on. You'll run out of paper. On this side, you will run out of paper. And be thankful. Let's not just keep that for ourselves. Let's tell somebody about that this week. Let's use the opportunity you're going to have to see some of them third and fourth cousins that you hadn't seen forever or whatever the case may be this week. Let's have the opportunity to be able to be a light to those people and in our own families and to be thankful to God for what he's done for us. I want to pray to end this particular part of the service. Then I'm going to ask you after I pray to come up here, everybody who's willing, gather around these boxes. We want to touch as many of them as we can, and we're going to pray over those. But Father God, I just pray, Lord, right now.